Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am thrilled more than normal because tonight we are going to be starting a new study from the book of Matthew. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Okay. As our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, hereby is my Father glorified. If you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. That's taken from John chapter 15, verse 8. The promise is that you will glorify God if you bear much fruit, and you will also be Jesus' disciple. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men will see your good works and then glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now the promise is that you will glorify the Father in heaven if you let your light shine, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said through Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. In weakness, my strength is made perfect. That's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. So the promise is that in your weakness, your strength is made perfect if you are receiving the grace that is given through Jesus Christ. Now, the question for this hour is again, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ? Now, before we get started, I want to all of you to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way, my precious brothers and sisters, to break this code is through study and through learning. So let's get to the study. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 1. Now, there are 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, and I've written 78 instructions for this series. So let's get started. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse. The instruction is the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. Where are you found? Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Where are you found? Where am I found? In the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. And this is what Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, if I continue to read the rest of the verses in chapter 1 all the way to chapter 25, you can see that many names have been identified here. But the critical ones is, this is the generation identified for Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, being the son of David and the son of Abraham. Now, where are we found in that? Of course, our finding in that strain is symbolical, and we'll come back to it in a minute. But first of all, what I'd like to do is give you the spiritual complement to this. In the Old Testament, we want to go to the book 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, or verse 4. I mean, we want to go to 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. And this is how this compares and agrees with what we just read. This is the generation that has been identified to the Israelites through the writings of those who wrote Chronicles. Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We can see from this line, we are getting the generations that were closely knit in singular form as compared to multiple forms as written in the book of Matthew. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that symbolically we stem from the spiritual grafting in from Jesus through our baptism. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That is our tie-in to the generation of Jesus Christ. We are symbolically tied in through the grafting, and that is done through our baptism. That's what I want you to understand from the reading of this instruction. Now let's go back to the book of Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, and we're also going to read verse 19 through 23. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, I want you to keep in mind as I read the text that this is the instruction. Avoid trouble. Follow the instructions of Scripture. My brothers and sisters, to avoid trouble, our best bet is to follow the instructions of Scripture. And this is the example given in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. It says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So Joseph followed the instructions of the angel, and this is what verse, now we're going to go to verse 19 and 23 and get a conclusion of this instruction. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying again, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go in thither. Notwithstanding, Being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city that was called Nazareth, that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now what we're going to do is we're going to break, and when we come back from the break, I will continue the instruction.
If there are over 7 billion people on Earth, then why do I feel so alone? If there is someone for everyone, then why does it feel like it's just me? If I have friends, then how come I can end up feeling so friendless? If I have family, then why do I sometimes feel like a family of one? These are some of the questions that I've had to ask myself at times, but I have never seemed to get an answer until I look into the Word of God. The truth is, if you know Jesus, you are not alone. You are not alone. No matter how many times you have walked by yourself, God says that He will be with you wherever you go. No matter how many times you have fallen and had to pick yourself up, Jesus says that He knows you and that He laid down His life for you. You are not alone. No matter how hard things have gotten, the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You are not alone. No matter how long you've been waiting, Jesus says that He is coming back, and until then He has sent His Holy Spirit to live in you. You are not alone. No matter what your situation has turned into, Jesus promises that you can find rest in Him. You are not alone. No matter who has deserted you, Jesus says that He will be with you always. You are not alone. But the Bible does show us what loneliness is like. Utter loneliness is what Jesus experienced as He hung on the cross. Loneliness, sin, death, and separation are what He overcame, so that we could be with God, so that when we repent and turn to Him, we can rest in His presence, so that we can experience His friendship forever.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we'll get right back at it. The instruction, avoid trouble. Follow the instructions of Scripture. And we read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, and then verses 19 through 23, how Joseph followed the instructions of the angel and avoided Herod from messing with his child, Jesus Christ. And I want to comment on verse 23. I'm going to reread it again, and this is what verse 23 says. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And I researched this to see what prophet had said that, and it is not written in our canon identifying the prophet that said that. So this is what is called a construct. And of course, I'm not going to get into any details, but because of editing, this is why this was put in. And it was kept in because I guess those who reviewed the books before they compiled them into the canon decided that this was a good verse to have. Anyway, coming to the Old Testament complement, we're going to look and see what the Old Testament compares and agrees with in avoiding trouble, following the instructions of scriptures. I want you to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to conclude the thought with verse 18 through 20. Verse 1 says this, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do them, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore or swear unto thy fathers." Now, this is telling us that we should, the Israelites were told by Moses that if they listened to the instructions, the commandments of the Lord, that they would have no problems in going in and possessing the land which God had promised to give them. To complete the thought, we're going to go to verse 18 through 20, and this is what it says. It says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to give wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the law, the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish." And this is telling them, if they did not follow the instructions, they would not avoid trouble. They would perish. Verse 20 concludes the thought, "As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." So this is what Moses is telling Israel, that if they did not follow the instructions of Scripture, they would not avoid trouble. In fact, they would actually perish. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the knowledge of good and evil is our trouble. To avoid the trouble, we must use the knowledge of everlasting life. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? So significant. Because a lot of us do not realize that there are two knowledges that are available to humanity spiritually. One is the knowledge of good and evil. Everyone inherits that from Adam and Eve. The other, the knowledge of everlasting life, can only come through Jesus Christ. So if you want to avoid trouble, that is the knowledge you should be applying and not the one that you inherited. That's the instruction that I want you to understand. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 3 this time. And we're going to be looking at verse 5 through 11, Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 through 11. And I want you to keep in mind, as I read the verses, this is the instruction. We must produce fruit ripe for repentance. My brothers and sisters, we must produce fruit for repentance, or fruit ripe for repentance. And this is what Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 through 11 says. "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan." This is saying that John the Baptist was in the desert preaching about the coming of God, and all went out to hear him preach. Verse 6 says, "And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." So John actually baptized those who came out to him. Verse 7 says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Remember, the instruction is we must produce fruit ripe for repentance. John the Baptist is telling them that. In verse 9 it says, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." So John the Baptist is telling the people that if you do not come forth right with repentance, then it doesn't matter. God can take stones and cause it to satisfy him. Verse 10 says, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." That is so critical, my brothers and sisters. Without producing much fruit, It's worthless to produce anything else this side of eternity. Remember what Jesus said. What profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And you know what Solomon had to say about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. What profit is a man if he gains the whole world? It is vanity of vanities and vexation of the spirit. And to complete verse 11, the thought says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? With the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that is so significant. And we know that unless you are born again, you will not enter or see heaven. That's what Jesus taught. And we'll get to that when we go into the Gospel of John. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go to Deuteronomy. We're going to go to our Old Testament complement and see how it compares and agrees with what we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2, 14 and 15. That's what we're going to read. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and 2. This is what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2 says, and all of these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. That is the fruit that is identified if you listen to the Lord God, the commandments. And that's what Moses was telling the Israelites at that time. And to complete the thought, we're going to go to verse 14 and 15, and this is what it says. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to go to the right or to go to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And I see that there is a break upon us, so what we're going to do is stop right there, and I'll continue after the break.
Who is Jesus to you? Ask yourself that question. Was he just a man? Was he just a prophet? Or was he just a good person? Was he just a man or was he God? If he was just a man, he's been 6 feet under for 2,000 years. But if he was God, he's ruling on the throne as we speak. But who is he? Jesus, he is the creator of everything you see. He created it. There was no such thing as evolution. We did not come from animals. We come from heavenly royalty. We come from the Creator Jesus. The planets did not form on their own. They were molded in God's hands. The same hand that made the universe was nailed to the cross for our sins. That's our God. He is the Redeemer. He gave us redemption when he died for us. He knew we needed redemption from sin. He came to set us free. He redeemed the lost cause. He redeemed the broken. He redeemed the sinners who came to him. If you have been broken to nothing, God will build you back into something for him. That's our God. He is the King of heaven and earth. Pilate once asked him, are you king? And Jesus said, yes, but my kingdom is not of this world. He's been on the throne since the beginning of time, and no one can move him off of it. He rules with a righteous hand. He is clothed in white. He is majesty. He rules the world. He is the God of Israel. He once had a crown of thorns on his head. But in the future, we will cast our crowns at his feet. That is our God. He is the ultimate judge. No enemy of God has a chance against him. His judgment is right. His judgment is just. And his judgment is final. Nothing gets by him. Nothing escapes him. The enemy that comes against you today and makes life tough is going to have to face him. The person that tries to bring you down will have to look up at God. The person that plans against you will have to meet the God of all plans. In Romans 12:19, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. That's our God. He is the ultimate physician. Miracles happen in his name. Cancer, the coronavirus, is no match for our God. Sickness and disease vanish in his presence. He's the ultimate doctor. He's the ultimate healer. He is the cure for sickness and disease. That's our God. He is our friend. When we have nothing, We still have him. He's loyal. He never leaves your side. He never forsakes you. He never betrays you. He calls you his sons and daughters. He is for you, not against you. He is I Am. He is the Son of God. He is the Godhead, three in one. He is life. He is love. He is truth. And he wants you. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep and took it up again. He protects you. He corrects you and guides you when the wolf in sheep's clothing tries to attack you. That's our God. He is the Father you've always wanted. He wants you. He loves you. He loves you more than life itself. That's why he died for you. He wants all of you and not a part of you. He wants the best for you and not the worst. If you were the only person on earth, his love for you still would have drove him to the cross. He did not let the Romans take his life, but he gave it up for you. He is perfect, and he saw past your flaws to love who you really are. You are the apple of his eye, but who is God to you? Was he just a man, or was he God? You will have to choose.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to be completing instruction number 3. We must produce fruit ripe for repentance. We already know what Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 through 11 said, and we were just into the complement to see how it compares and agrees in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we were reading verse 1, 2, 14, and 15. We were just concluding with verse 15, and this is what verse 15 says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So if you're not going to produce fruit right for repentance, curses is what was told by Moses to Israel would be the end result. And now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus said, hereby is my Father glorified, if ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. Now that fruit that we're talking about, we know that in 1 Corinthians chapter, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, that identifies love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, faithfulness. So that is the fruit that I am suggesting to you that will glorify God, that Jesus is speaking of. But if you do not, he said, meaning if you do not abound in this fruit, Jesus said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And that is the instruction that I want you to take from this, that the fruit that I mentioned to you, which there is more, but Paul gave us 9 fruit that we can draw from or focus on abounding in, and that's what we should be doing, my precious brothers and sisters. Now let's go back to Matthew. We're going to go back into Matthew chapter 3. This time we're going to look at verses 13 through 17, and this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. We must be baptized. And of course, the word baptism originated in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was purification or purified. So I want you to know that up front. And this is what Matthew says about we must be baptized. In chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, it says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Okay? Jesus is the way. He is being baptized by John. And this is what verse 14 says. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh of us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Jesus showed us the way. When we go to the Gospel of John, we will hear Jesus tells Nicodemus that you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, or you will not enter or see the kingdom of God. Jesus went into the water to fulfill all righteousness. That is very significant. Now let's go to our Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 18 through 22 that's going to tell us about this purification now, which is baptism. And this is significant. And this is what Numbers chapter 8, verse 18 says. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. Now, my brothers and sisters, quickly I want to mention to you that we are the priesthood, like the Levites were the priesthood for the Israelites. Verse 19 says, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the people or children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there shall be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. My brothers and sisters, today we are the priests of Jesus Christ, and we are to do the laboring, the planting and watering, the preaching, the teaching, the witnessing, the testifying, the edifying, and the admonishing for God. And this is exactly what the book of Numbers is telling Leviticus, telling the Levites that they must be to the Israelites. Verse 20 says, and Moses and Aaron and all of the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according unto the Lord command according to the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did the children of Israel unto him, meaning he purified them. And this is what verse 21 says. And the Levites were purified, meaning they were baptized. They were washed through clothes. They washed their clothes. And Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service to the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons. As the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. So that is the connection. We must be baptized, just as the Levitical priesthood had to be purified or baptized for the Israelites. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that we must be set apart from all other people and be baptized into Jesus to perform our priestly duties, planting and watering the Lord's God's vineyard. And so that's the instruction I want you to understand, that we are just as the Levites were to the Israelites. We are the priests. And so we must be baptized and then go out and do the work of the Lord. And now let's go to instruction number 5. We're going to now go to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read verse 1 through 11, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. And this is the instruction. The fifth instruction says, confront life by using scripture to justify your actions. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? That's how we should confront life, by using scripture to justify our actions. And this is what Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11 says about that. And I will complete that thought. I see that it's time for a break. After the break, we'll complete that thought.
Could just imagine Jesus didn't feel like it. Just like when he was praying in the garden, he didn't feel like going to the cross, but he did it anyways. Matthew chapter 14 is one of my favorite stories. It's one of the 34 miracles Jesus performed in the Bible that is recorded. And we believe he performed a lot more than 34, but it's one of the 34. And I want to go through verse 13 and 14. Now, I think it's important to understand the context in Matthew chapter 14. Leading into verse 13, Jesus just found out that
that his friend, John the Baptist, has just been beheaded. And so he gets this news, and you can just imagine what Jesus is going through. I mean, this is the guy that he had baptized, and this is someone that he loved. This is someone that he cared for. I mean, this is someone that truly impacted his life, that he loved so much. So you can just imagine one of the people that Jesus was closest to, and he gets the news that John was just beheaded. So we start in verse 13. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. Of course he did. He wanted to be away. He wanted to grieve for his friend. He wanted to grieve for someone that he loved so much. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. I want to touch on this for a second because I think it's pretty incredible. So Jesus just finds out that one of his best friends, one of the people he loves more than anyone, just got beheaded, and he wants to get away, so he tries to get away, but there's all these people from all these cities that are following him. So he sees them, and he doesn't say, no, I'm dealing with my own problems right now. I'm dealing with my friend who I just lost. He says, no, I see them. And I have compassion for them. So instead of just trying to handle my own emotions, I'm going to meet other people's needs. And I'm going to go heal the sick. And I'm going to give even though I really don't feel like it. You could just imagine Jesus didn't feel like it. Just like when he was praying in the garden, he didn't feel like going to the cross. But he did it anyways. Because we don't have to live by our emotions. We get to live by our convictions.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 5, confront life by using scriptures to justify your action. And this is what Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11 tells us about that. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. My brothers and sisters, you see what Jesus did. That is our example. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the light. He shows us how to proceed accordingly, and this is how we can be successful in our existence this side of eternity if we follow the example of Jesus. Now what we're going to do is go to the Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, verse 5, and verse 6, and we're going to see how the Old Testament compares and agrees with what we just read. Chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, chapter 1 says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you, for to do them, and that ye may and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your Father giveth thee. So what it began with saying to the Israelites, if you do what the scripture tells you to do, if you follow this action, you're going to be all right. Verse 5 and 6 completes the thought and actually substantiates the action. It says, behold, verse 5 says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. This is what Moses is telling the Israelites. Now, check this out, my brothers and sisters. This is climatic. It says in verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. You want to be not beset by worldliness, you follow godliness. That is so significant. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is the most exclusive curriculum you will ever need to be saved and succeed in this life. My brothers and sisters, that basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is the most exclusive curriculum you will ever need to be saved and succeed in this life. That's what I want to get over to you from this instruction. Now let's go back to instruction number 6, or go to the next instruction, number 6. We're going to be looking at, we're still in chapter 4. We're still in chapter 4 of Matthew. We're going to be reading verse 18 through 25, chapter 4, verse 18 through 25. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this instruction as I read the text. Following Jesus attracts attention. So if you follow Jesus, you're going to attract attention. And this is what the scripture teaches us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, amending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship, their father, and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. So following Jesus attracts attention, and that is what this is telling us. Now what we're going to do is go to the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. We're going to look at chapter 22, verse 1 through 6. And this is going to compare and agree with what we just read with this in mind, that if you follow the Lord God Almighty, you're going to attract attention. And this is what Numbers chapter 22, verse 6 says about that. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. All right? You follow the Lord, folks are going to get worried. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. So he sent his messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wrought that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and whom thou cursed is cursed. Now that is an example of what happened to Israel, because they were following God. They attracted attention. And we following Jesus will attract attention, my brothers and sisters. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that being godly will attract both good and evil attention, because God has cursed the world. So we must be very careful how we approach others. That is so key. If we are to labor with love in the Lord's vineyard, planting and watering, we must do that as individuals, or I should say gingerly, with loving kindness, because we're going to attract attention. And if it's the wrong attention, like we know that happens in the world when the evangelists and the missionaries go out, it's going to be possibly end up in death to us. So we must be very careful in doing that. Now, before we go to the next instruction, number 7, we're going to take a break.
I give you 4 guidelines on open doors, closed doors. Number 1, since God is sovereign, he is in full control on both sides of any door. 2, being in full control, God takes full responsibility for the results. Number 3, the closing of a good opportunity occurs in order to lead us to an even better one. And number 4, not until you walk through the open door and look back do you realize the necessity of the other doors being closed. Even though we don't understand why, we'll go. I have no idea what closed doors you are living with. For all I know, you are going through self-loathing and blame. Or even worse, you may be blaming someone else because the door closed. Because I don't know which one to speak to directly, I speak to all of you and say, let it be. Let the oak fall. Let the acorns scatter. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footstep on the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright design and works his sovereign will. Let it be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my brothers and sisters, here we go. We're back at Matthew chapter 5. Remember I mentioned that there are 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, and we're on chapter 5, and we're reading from instruction number 7, and I've written 78 instructions for this series. And this is what the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. Be blessed by following the 9 Beatitudes. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? We're going to read 9 Beatitudes that gives us favor with God through Jesus Christ. This is what Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12 says. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute they the prophets which were before you. Those are nine pertinent blessings that we can obtain through Jesus Christ if we follow the instruction of the scripture. Now let's go to Deuteronomy. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7 or Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is where we're going to look at a comparison and an agreement connecting the dot. This is where the two compare. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to start with verse 3 through 8. And this is what Deuteronomy, what the Israelites were told by Moses about blessings from God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be the basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. What the Lord shall cause thy enemies that shall rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now this is the blessings that Moses was telling Israel they shall receive if they do the will of God. And verse 13 completes the thought. It says, And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. That's the connection of the two. And now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that following Jesus, denying yourself and picking up your cross, you shall receive eternal life. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Jesus tells us further on in the study, we'll get to it, where he says, follow me. And to follow me, you must deny yourself. And you must pick up your cross and follow me. And that is what we must do in order to achieve the blessings that we have just heard from the book of Matthew and the book of Deuteronomy, if you will. Let's now go to instruction number 8. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. You are the salt and light of God. My brothers and sisters, we are the salt and light of God. And this is what Matthew says, chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We must create exactly what Jesus taught in this Sermon on the Mount, as it is called, being the salt and light of God. And now we're going to go to Genesis to look at the Old Testament complement to see how this registers and connects. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verse 15, verse 19, and verse 20. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, verse 19, and verse 20. And this is what God told man. Okay, my brothers and sisters? This is what God told man. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Okay? Verse 19 says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmate for him. We see that God created humanity to tend to his creation. That is the key, and that is the connection. Adam was the salt and light of God for mankind. We are the salt and light of man for mankind through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God created man to be a part of mankind and to have a personal relationship with God and his creation. We are to look out for one another. That's the key, my brothers and sisters, that we are all created in the image and likeness of God, and we are to be one for another. That is what is so important to us in this life. Now, this concludes the lesson for this evening. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. And before we sign off, I'm going to quickly review what we learned tonight in the book of Matthew, the instruction, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Where are we found? And we are found in being grafted in because we believe and we have confessed and we are baptized. That is where we extend the generation of Jesus Christ. And the second instruction, avoid trouble, follow the instructions of Scripture. We know if you follow Scripture, you cannot err. It will give you not only exactly what you are to say and respond to, but it will show you how to avoid calamity. The third instruction, we must produce fruit ripe for repentance. And the fruit that we must produce that will glorify God, we know is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Those are the ones that Paul identified. There are more than that, but we concentrate just on those, and we will be following the instruction that I just mentioned to you. The instruction number four said we must be baptized. We must be baptized. We must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We must do as Jesus did. He showed us how to be baptized in the water. He showed us how to be baptized in the Spirit. Instruction five, confront life by using Scripture to justify your action. And again, this holds true. If you want to avoid trouble, follow the yellow brick road. Follow Scripture. Now we'll break.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, blog talk radio talk show program. hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. BIBLE.